Will members please register their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the quorum.
36 present, 4 absent.
Representative Miller?
Speaker, Representatives Cooper, Dankworth, Gardner, and Smith are excused from the call of the House today, although I note Representative Cooper is here. I'll ask unanimous consent that other absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Our chaplain today is Father Triptoski, Cathedral Catholic Church. Will the House please rise for prayer?
Let us pray. God our Father, you created us in your image and have told us to grow into perfection. Guide us and inspire us with your Spirit so that each of us and all of us will have the virtues we need to do the work we have been commissioned to do. May our work always be a reflection of the love and concern you have for all. Amen.
Representative Akers? Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Will the clerk please certify us to the correctness of the Daily Journal?
As chief clerk, I certify us to the correctness of the Journal for the 87th day, House Supplement Number 29, and Joint Senate House Supplement Number 5.
Representative Miller?
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body approve the Journal as certified by the chief clerk for the 87th day for House Supplement Number 29 and Joint Senate House Supplement Number 5.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Brings us to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction to the chambers? Representative Miller?
Speaker, in the far gallery, Gallery B, we have students visiting the legislature today from Capital Elementary School, the 5th and 6th grades, who are studying the legislature. I'll read all of the names, ask the students to stand if they would, and then we'll withhold our recognition until that time. We have John Gregory, and Bill Farrell, and Matt Brakel, Josie Frere, Nove Carrillo, Siobhan Malone. I believe Ms. Malone is a constituent of yours, Mr. Speaker. Joy Morant, Jim Hill, Sarah Gillis, Rona Hamilton, Josh McCabe, Chris Probst, Simone Purvis, Christine Sorrells, Kristen Holman, Gail Young. The teachers and other escorts include Ms. Christine Crook, Dick Fagnant, Cheryl Levitt, and Elizabeth Seacrest.
Representative Eliason?
Mr. Speaker, I have a guest in Gallery B here. He's the president of the Pelican Coal Storage Company, Jim Ferguson.
Representative Rudd?
Mr. Speaker, during the last week, I've had the pleasure of getting to know a young woman who's visiting us from California. Her name is Virginia Gezzi. She's from Santa Monica. She's a nurse at the UCLA Medical Center and specializes in pediatrics, and I'd like to introduce her to the House.
Further guests for introduction? If not, are there any messages from the governor?
Dear Mr. Speaker, I have signed the following bill and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Senate Bill Number 137, relating to increasing the small claim jurisdictional limitation, Chapter 23, SLA 1978. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
The Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill Number 773, Finance. Special appropriation to Department of Fish and Game, Division of Commercial Fisheries with an effective date, and it is returned. This bill has been sent to enrolling. The Senate has failed to recede from its amendment to House Joint Resolution Number 67, requesting release of secretarial contingency funds for CETA programs in Alaska, namely House Joint Resolution Number 67, amended Senate, requesting release of secretarial discretionary funds for CETA programs in Alaska. The President has appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with the like committee from the House to consider the above resolutions. Senator Kurtula, Chairman, Senator Huber, Senator Tillian. The Senate has failed to recede from its amendment to House Bill Number 780, Special Appropriation to National Council on Alcoholism, Alaska Region, effective date, namely Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 780, Finance, with a new title. The President has appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House to consider the above bills. Senator Homan, Chairman, Senator Hackney, Senator Coletta. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications?
There is a communication from H. Philip Hubbard, the Commissioner of the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, transmitting two reports, the Alaska Visitor Industry, a summary, and the second report is the Visitor-Related Firm Survey for the year 1975. These reports are on file in the Speaker's office. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Hess has had Senate Concurrent Resolution 87, annulling a regulation of the Department of Environmental Conservation relating to drinking water, under consideration. The committee reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, signing DuPass, O.C. Chatterton, and NACAC. Signing no recommendation, Phillips, Cotton, Bennett, and Parr. Senate Concurrent Resolution 87 has no further referral. The Committee on Hess has had Senate Bill 441, an act making a special appropriation to the Office of the Governor with an effective date, under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Phillips, Cotton, Chatterton, NACAC, Bennett, and Parr. Senate Bill 441 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 97, relating to termination of financing statements under the Uniform Commercial Code with an effective date, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 97 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Rudd, Eliason, and Miles. Having no recommendation, Mr. Carpenter. House Bill 97 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 609, a supplemental appropriation to the Alaska Court System Bureau, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Rode, Haugen, Swanson, Meekins, Buchholz, Cooper, and Schaefer. House Bill 609 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
The Free Conference Committee, which has had House Bill 611, Supplemental Appropriation to the Office of the Governor, Telecommunications, effective date, and House Bill 611, Amended Senate, Supplemental Appropriation to Legislative Affairs Agency, Legislative Finance Division, Municipality of Anchorage, and Office of the Governor, Telecommunication, under consideration, recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 611 be adopted. And there is a letter of intent. This hasn't been duplicated yet, but it will be and placed on your desk. Signed by Senate members, Homan, Chairman, Orsini, and Kurtula. House members, Duncan, Chairman, Meekins, and Kelly. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
There's a citation commending the Sitka High School Wolves by Representative Eliason. House Joint Resolution 68 by the Rules Committee by request for the Special Committee on the Sale of Royalty Oil and Gas relating to North Slope Natural Gas Pipeline Financing.
Referred to the Special Committee on Royalty Oil and Gas.
House Joint Resolution 69 by the Rules Committee by request for the Special Committee on the Sale of Royalty Oil and Gas relating to National Energy Needs.
Referred to the Special Committee on Royalty Oil and Gas.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of House Bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 843 by Gardner, Bradley, Freeman, Malone, Miller, NACAC, Osterbach, and Parr. An act providing for equalization of the tax resources of municipalities, continuing a portion of the program of state aid for municipal purposes, and providing for minimum entitlements and providing for an effective date.
Referred to the Committee on Community and Regional Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 918 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs and providing for an effective date.
Referred to Community and Regional Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 919 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to grants and aid to municipalities and associations maintaining public libraries and providing for an effective date.
Referred to Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
House Bill 920 with a transmittal letter by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act making fiscal year 78 appropriation adjustments for the Department of Labor, OSHA, and providing for an effective date.
We refer to the Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us down to consideration of the calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on the calendar?
House Bill 622 by Rudd, Bradley, Buchholz, Cotton, Greening, McKinnon, Meekins, and Miles, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to continue the reconstruction of a north-south runway at Anchorage International Airport and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 622 under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 622 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, concurred in by Bradley, Nackack, Lafine, McKinnon, and Miles. Signing do not pass until needed, Kelly. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 622 under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 622 Finance and that it be reported back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman. Signing do pass, Duncan, Guy, Haugen, and Cooper. Signing do not pass, Swanson, Schaefer, and Rode. Having no recommendation, Freeman. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
This objection. Representative Anderson.
Thank you. I don't intend to maintain my objection, just to make a point. It's been about 3 years now that I have made requests to the Department of Transportation that Aliknagik doesn't have an airport. And when I spoke about this matter to the State Affairs Committee, there was agreement there that this airport should be given active consideration. In the Finance Committee, it was taken out with my approval. But the problem still remains, and I'm hoping that something will be done this year. At least I know the legislature will do something, but I want to send a message to the administration that they're not responding adequately to Bush Alaska needs as far as transportation is concerned. I withdraw my objection.
Is there further objection to the adoption of the Finance Committee substitute? Hearing no further objection, committee substitute is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 622 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk please read House Bill 622 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 622, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to continue the construction of a north-south runway at Anchorage International Airport and providing for an effective date.
Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, there are always a number of questions about this issue, so I'd like to, if the House will bear with me, run through the history of the project just very briefly. First of all, I think we all recognize the importance of the Anchorage International Airport to all of Alaska, not just to those of us who live in Anchorage. I think there's probably not a person in this body who hasn't gone in and out of that airport a number of times, and I think most Alaskans, no matter where they live, go in and out. Of course, a great deal of our goods come through that airport also. So this is an extremely important item, not only to the people in Anchorage, but to the people throughout the state. This north-south runway is being proposed and has been proposed for a long time. In fact, I've been told by the people at the Department of Transportation that a north-south runway was originally sketched in on the original sketch of the airport when it was first designed in 1947. And of course, there is a north-south runway now existent, However, it's not long enough, and its alignment is such that it doesn't take advantage of the prevailing winds. A new north-south runway is needed and has been needed for some time at the airport due to the prevailing winds in that area and due to the problems with winds, crosswinds, which I'll get to in a minute. The first time I became aware of the idea of building a good north-south runway at the airport was sometime in 1970 or 71, I think, when the actual planning for this proposed runway started. Since that time, a number of public hearings have been held, a great deal of planning has been done, environmental impact statements have been promulgated, and in fact, construction began last summer. The reason for the need for the runway is primarily because of crosswind factors at the airport. I'm sure that we've all had the experience of flying in and landing on that east-west runway and finding that the plane was jumping around in the air during the final approach. This is a problem that has existed for a number of years and has grown worse and worse the bigger our aircraft get, the more susceptible they are to the crosswind factors and the wind shear factors, especially at the west end of the east-west runway in Anchorage. Several years ago, the Airline Pilots Association declared that the Anchorage International Airport was the sixth most unsafe airport in the whole world. I understand that the five that go ahead of us go ahead of us simply because of traffic factors and not because of wind factors and natural factors such as we have at our airport. Of course, we all remember several years ago when the 747 was blown off the runway by crosswinds when it was taxiing. Recently, the Secretary of Transportation, U.S. Secretary of Transportation, visited Anchorage and gave another plug for the construction of the runway. I think he made some reference to he and his white knuckles staff, his white knuckles and his staff white knuckles. Evidently, they had a hairy landing, as I think we've all had that experience at the runway. As I said, the construction of the runway began last summer. However, it was halted by a suit by a homeowner who lives south of the proposed runway. He sued the federal government, claiming that the crosswind factor, which was present at the airport, had not been demonstrated to be often enough to meet federal standards for federal construction funds for airports. A preliminary injunction was issued by the judge in that case, and it has been in effect ever since then. No work has proceeded on the airport since that on the runway since that injunction was issued. The state has intervened in that suit, and both the state and the federal government have retained experts on wind factors who are confident that they can demonstrate that the crosswinds do occur more than 5% of the time, which is the factor in contention in the suit. So that when the trial begins on May 8th, the state and the federal government say that they are confident of victory. I don't think any of us can say for sure, but they feel very confident that they are going to be able to demonstrate that the crosswinds do exist often enough for the federal funding to continue. However, while we're in the process of going through this trial, we're losing a construction season on the runway. I'm proposing that we appropriate $5 million from the International Airports Revenue Fund to allow the construction to continue for this next construction season. The International Airports Revenue Fund is a fund which is derived from the user fees and the profits of the international airports at Anchorage and Fairbanks, and it may not be used for any other purpose except to provide improvements at those two airports. What I'm trying to say here is that I'm not proposing to use general fund money. This money is a fund which can only be used for improvements at the Anchorage and Fairbanks International Airports. The fund now has, as I understand it, $17 million in it. It earns, as I understand it, about $4 million a year. so that I'm proposing to appropriate $5 million from that $17 million fund, which I hope will be earned back, replaced in the fund just by the earnings within the next year. One of the questions that has been in my mind as I've worked on this bill has been whether or not the federal government would reimburse the state for any funds that we expend for the runway if, in fact, they do win the suit in the end. We have now a letter from the FAA giving assurance that if the federal government wins the suit, then we will be reimbursed for the money which the state expends in the process of trying to continue the construction during this next season. If they lose the suit, we will not be reimbursed. Or if the grant that we now have from the federal government for the construction is changed because of losing the suit or settling the suit, not in the case of settling it, the grant would not be changed. But if the grant is changed, then we would not be reimbursed. All of the people that I've talked to who are involved in this issue, as I said, are confident that we will prevail. The state has intervened in the case, so the state is involved also. We will prevail in the suit. However, Mr. Speaker, even if we don't prevail, I think we should go ahead, or even if we think we weren't going to prevail, I think we should go ahead and spend this money this year. Because if the if the federal government cannot, in fact, help us to build this runway, we are going to have to build it ourselves sooner or later. And the longer we delay, the more it costs. The costs are going up astronomically already. As I said, this appropriation will handle the upcoming construction season. I have a list of what's going to be done during the construction season, and I hope I can answer any other questions that the House may have.
Further discussion? Representative Rode?
I have one question, Mr. Speaker. This court case in question, when does it come to trial? I understand it's only in a few days.
Representative Rudd?
The case is due to come to trial on the 8th of May. I have talked to people who are involved in it. They feel as though it will probably take a week or so to try, and then maybe 30 to 90 days for the judge to make his decision. No matter what happens in the trial when it begins on May 8th, we have probably lost, I would say certainly lost this construction season, even if the decision of the judge is forthcoming immediately, because I'm fairly well convinced that whoever loses at this level will probably appeal, and this construction season is lost.
Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, on the when we heard this bill in the State Affairs Committee, it was considerably different. It asked for $15 million appropriated from the revenue fund and $5,600,000 appropriated from the general fund. I objected at that time. I felt that while the court case was going on, and while the chance that the federal government might still pay for the runway construction, that we should wait. I still basically feel that way, Mr. Speaker, but it appears that with the letter from the FAA that Representative Rudd mentioned, that we can rest assured that if we do win the court case, that they will reimburse us for the revenue funds and $5 million in the revenue funds, which are generated by the airport itself, is considerably different than $15 million and $5 million plus out of the general fund. So I'm going to support this bill.
Representative Nakak.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I support this bill. I support the $5 million appropriation for Anchorage. I have concerns which go beyond the $5 million, and they involve a few other communities outside the greater Anchorage area. The difficulty I have is not only that this appropriation and the expending of it might save lives, might be good for the state, might be good for Anchorage, and perhaps we may eliminate aircraft accidents. However, the argument is used that this is good for the whole state. Well, the bonus lease sale is good for the whole state. There's a small thing that was in the health and social services budget last year, $500,000 for Anchorage's health program. Not because they had any specific thing to do with it, just because they had the votes to cover just a $500,000 appropriation for the city of Anchorage. Now this is $5 million for Anchorage, for the better part of the state. I mean, it's for my safety. But doggone it, let me think and let me ask you about the safety of those people at Diomede. And let me laugh at the situation when the Soviet government gives us permission to land on Big Diomede and we can't even land in the state. I congratulate Ms. Rudd for this piece of legislation, but I think we've got our priorities mixed up.
Representative Schaefer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The reason I voted do not pass in committee is that I felt that I have no objections to building a north-south runway in Anchorage, and I think maybe perhaps it's needed, but I feel that we're gambling with pretty high stakes. It's $5 million this year, and I think the total package of the airport, if I'm not mistaken, is $30+ million, and I just feel that it'd be better if we just wait and find out what the court case decision will come. That's why I voted do not pass, and I'll oppose the bill.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As Representative Rudd earlier stated, the Anchorage International Airport is one of the worst in the entire United States. Los Angeles is the other one. They both have black stars, whatever that means. I would like to state that from hearings, testimony from the Division of Aviation and from the budget reviews that I have conducted at the International Airport, I find that the Anchorage International Airport is a pretty successful operation. Its operations are roughly making a $16 million in income, and it generates about $6 million in profit. And that's according to the testimonies, after deducting all depreciation, interest expenses, and all those expenses that may be incurred in the operation of the airport. I do support this bill. I'm only sorry that we cannot address all the problems of airports throughout the throughout the state. We do have a bond measure which I had co-sponsored to try to take care of the needs of our people throughout the state in upgrading and improving their airports. I really cannot emphasize the need to do this project as soon as possible, not to mention the lives that could be lost. Even one life is worth more than any amount of money that we could even think of in the construction of this runway, and I do urge this body to support it.
Further discussion? House, please stand. Representative Swanson?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I think that Representative Rudd should read the entire paragraph on reimbursement so that this body is totally and completely knowledgeable of what the FAA told us on the reimbursement clause.
Representative Rudd?
Be glad to do that, Mr. Speaker. I'll read the entire letter. The letter is directed to Don Harris, the Commissioner of Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. It's signed by Lyle K. Brown, the Director of the Alaska Region for the Federal Department of Transportation, Federal Aviation Administration. Dear Mr. Harris, it's dated, March 21st, 1978. You have asked whether or not, in the event the present litigation in the case of Overby versus Adams et al. Is resolved in favor of the United States, the state of Alaska may be reimbursed under the grant agreement for project number ADAP 6020016-08 for costs which might be incurred by the state in carrying out the project during the pendency of that litigation. After a careful review of all applicable laws, it is the opinion of the Federal Aviation Administration that all project costs incurred by the state of Alaska in connection with project number ADAP 6020016-08, subsequent to the execution of the grant agreement, which has already been executed last year, and which do not exceed the amount of $32,797,746, plus any increases therein authorized under Section 19 of the Airport and Airway Development Act, and which otherwise meet the tests of paragraphs 1, 3, and 4 of subsection A of Section 20 of that Act, would constitute an allowable cost under Section 20A2 thereof without regard to whether such costs exceed the amount of $6,093,750, which has heretofore been obligated under said project for the 1977 fiscal year. Although we believe this determination should alleviate the state of Alaska's concern relating to the expenditure of funds exceeding $6,093,750 during such periods as FAA is enjoined from any payment or obligation under the grant agreement, it must be recognized that should the present preliminary injunction not be vacated, and should there be final determination that FAA is permanently enjoined from such payment or obligation, any costs incurred in connection with the project which have not heretofore been reimbursed could not thereafter be reimbursed. And while it is not believed that an adverse decision in the present litigation could act as a bar to the issuance by the United States of an entirely new grant agreement for a project of the same scope, should that become necessary in order to preclude further delays in the project, such new grant could only authorize payment of costs incurred subsequent to the date it was executed. The ramifications of this procedure pending the outcome of any appeal of an adverse decision in the present litigation was fully explained in our letter of November 25, 1977. That's the entire letter, Mr. Speaker. And in a nutshell, it says that if we win the suit, we'll get reimbursed. If we don't, we won't.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, I'm in favor of the bill. But notwithstanding the reimbursement question, which is from a fund, basically a profit fund for the international airports, can only be used for Fairbanks and Anchorage International Airport. Notwithstanding that, I think that the gist of Representative Rudd's letter that you read from the FAA, we'd have to reasonably conclude that everything being equal, the federal government would reimburse us. But there's absolutely no promise of that. There's a may there rather than a shall, and no bureaucrat is going to put the shall there. But I think it seems reasonable that we would be reimbursed. But, Mr. Speaker, even if we weren't, it seems that this body debates back and forth about we're just tired of the federal government giving us the carrot, meaning money, to lock us into some programs. We're tired of them pushing us around here and there. Frankly, it is our airport. Nobody argues that that Anchorage or the airport is an enclave of Washington, D.C. It seems to me particularly pertinent to use these revenue funds as an advance on this, betting on the come, because there's a need, and the need is clear. It's for safety purposes. Mr. Speaker, a number of my very close friends, dear associates, from rural Alaska have spoken out about that Anchorage has got some priorities messed up here. Mr. Speaker, I think this issue is very analogous to an issue that several of those brothers of ours have been advocating, and that several of their brothers from the city have been supportive of, and that's the Ween punch out. And we want to remember, Mr. Speaker, that that is being argued on the one hand as feather bedding and by industry, and on the other hand as a safety factor. And for those of us who tend to go intellectually with the safety factor on that and disregard the arguments of feather bedding by industry, it seems that this is a very analogous point. And I don't think any, if the lack of priorities can be analogized to feather bedding, frankly, there are a number of us here who are supportive of rural airport improvements and expansions and upgrading, but frankly, the funds that we're talking about can't be used for Savunga, or they can't be used for Unalakleet, or Heidelberg. They have to be used for those two international airports. And there's an additional consideration here. A number of us beat our chests, dance and scream about reasonable development. I think if there was ever a case of reasonable development, at least as being proposed in the municipality of Anchorage, it's this. Nobody has risen and said that it's irresponsible development. I think it's reasonable to assert that in fact it's reasonable development. And in line with that, Mr. Speaker, there are a number of our constituents that would be gaining jobs by the construction expansion of that north-south runway. And just for what it's worth, a number of the AFL-CIO unions, of course, support this because they're into advocating for jobs in a very lean period, it looks like. For their constituents. So, Mr. Speaker, I would hope that rather than a number of people trying to make sort of a social statement or a need statement by opposing this bill, it would do my heart good to see a number of people supporting it and realizing that the people that are asking for this are supportive of their needs as well. Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
May we be at ease, please?
House, please stand. Question before the House is, shall House Bill 622 pass the House? Is there further discussion? Representative Schaefer. House Bill 622 is in third reading. Is there further discussion? Ready for the question. Question is, shall House Bill 622 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Thirty-four yeas, two nays, four excused.
So House Bill 622 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on committee substitute for House Bill 622 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 401 by the Finance Committee, an act making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Public Safety and the Department of Community and Regional Affairs and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 401 under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 401 and that it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Greening, Duncan, Buchholz, Swanson, Guy, Schaefer, and Freeman. Signing no recommendation, Haugen and Rode. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the House Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk of Amendments to the Committee Substitute.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Committee substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 401 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The clerk please read Senate Bill 401 in third reading.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 401 by the Finance Committee. An act making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Public Safety and the Department of Community and Regional Affairs and providing for an effective date.
Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I suppose I don't have any problem with this, but I guess my question is just on the amounts that were in the original bill, since they're so very small compared to the sort of things that we have in supplemental appropriations. Why did it turn out they were needed at this time? That's basically the present section 1 and 2 of the bill. It's just kind of unusual to get that small of a supplemental on this floor.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the governor's transmittal letter to the Senate, he explained that section 1 of the bill calling for $37,400, $22,400 would go to the Cordova jail redesign. There was no further explanation except that I think they're redoing it. The $15,000 for prisoner transportation is due to the increase in prison population in the early part of the fiscal year. Section 2 of the bill, the $13,226 is for a refund to the federal government that they had a grant at one time, and a grant of the Criminal Justice Planning Agency, and apparently they had miscalculated the amount that was supposedly theirs in the grant monies, and therefore they have to return this amount back to the federal government. Section 3 of the bill deals with a forum that is being conducted in Tok. It is basically a way for the people in that area to discuss some of the problems that will be involved when the gas pipeline comes through, and the number of people that are coming within that area that are new and strange to the land, and they need to talk over some of their problems, and this is a way for them to communicate. Section 4 of the bill is $5,000, which I personally had requested, and this is for Kodiak, wherein people from the community of Kodiak and the coastal communities where there is a cannery business, and the people who are working in the cannery should have a chance to talk over some of the problems that have been occurring in the cannery business for a very long time. This is mostly to react to a court decision that was made in terms of a class action suit that was finally decided on November 21st, 1977. And the activity of the people in the canneries as well as the community have never been addressed in a forum form. There have been many, many problems that have gone on, and perhaps this would be a way for them to come in and communicate with one another. It's a very much needed forum that I think it's about time to be held. Thank you.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, in Section 3, I have a question on a couple of weeks ago, I believe we had a supplemental appropriation for $37,000 for this organization, and now we have another $15,000. I'd just like to have a brief explanation of this additional supplemental appropriation.
Representative Rudd.
As I understand it, Mr. Speaker, the $37,500 was going for the capital improvements program survey by the Fairbanks Town and Village Association. The $15,000 is another project of the Fairbanks Town and Village Association, a forum in Tok on gas pipeline impact.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 401 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 6 nays, 4 excused.
So Senate Bill 401 has passed the House. Bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the Senate Bill 401 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Brings us to the end of today's calendar and down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Miller.
Speaker, may we be at ease?
House, please stand up.
A couple of days. Relative to House Bill 652, which is a special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for disbursement to Steering Council for Alaska Lands, the Senate attached an amendment to that legislation that I presume they will view as moot in any case now since we passed that resolution yesterday. But also in any case, there's no way in the world I could have ever brought myself to move for this amendment and ask the members to vote yes. In any case, as I say, the point is moot, so I'll now move that this body concur in the Senate amendments to thereby adopting I'll move that we concur in the Senate amendments, but ask the members to vote no.
Representative Urien. House, please. Representative Miller.
Speaker, there seemed to have been some question in some members' mind about whether the bill would have had an effective date on it if the Senate, for instance, recedes from its amendment. Very definitely, there is an immediate effective date. That's reflected on House Journal page 437. It was amendment number 1 by Mr. Gardner, saying add new section, section 3. This act takes effect immediately in accordance with the AS 0110070, subsection C. I'll restate the motion, Mr. Speaker, just because of the intervening time here. I'll move that this body concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 652, but I'll ask the members to vote no.
Clerk, please read the bill by title.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 652, amended, effective date amended by the Finance Committee. An act making a special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for disbursement to the Steering Council for Alaska Lands and providing for an effective date.
Question is, shall the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 652? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 30 nays, 5 excused.
So the House has failed to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 652, and the clerk will please notify the Senate. Further unfinished business.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Swanson.
May we revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection, revert to introduction of guests. Representative Swanson.
Well, Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A today are a couple of guests from up in the Johnson River country, and I'd like to say just a couple of things about these two gentlemen before I tell you who they are. They came into the Johnson River country with a group of people known as the Living Word Ministry about 4 years ago, took up allotments of land granted to them by the lands people, and they've hewed out of the Johnson River country some of the just out of the wilderness, and they've built their cabins, their houses, their churches, schools, and they have done it right off the land. And if anyone ever has an opportunity to drive through that into the Johnson River country, which is just out of it's between Delta and Tok, and turn off at the mailbox and go in there, if you want to see how people really, really can do it in the areas of production of agriculture, their garden spread over a half a mile all out through the trees and places that they've cleaned off, their cabins are built, building in a ring completely around their productive center. If you want to see what expertise is in the way of growing wool, cattle, any poultry, anything, it would be a terrific education for, if you're ever in that area, to go and take a look at what those people have done with the good old earth. And I'd like to introduce the head of that organization, Doug McLean, in Gallery A. Doug, would you stand up? And with Doug is Steve Dorter, and Steve is the head of their educational system. And Doug or Steve went out with the people, built the schoolhouse. It naturally had to meet all of our standards and our code, but he did it. And if you want to see the little schoolhouse in the country built by somebody's hands, Steve is the man that was in charge of their education system, and he's doing a fine job up there. Steve, would you stand up?
Further guests for introduction? Not revert to the Representative Brown. Under introduction of guests?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, we have a guest in Gallery A, and also makes an excuse for me to make an announcement about him. Professor Glenn Stanley is one of our consultants on telecommunications, is in Gallery A. I'd like to introduce him, and I'd also like to tell the members that he will be here through tomorrow if they have particular questions for him or information that they'd like him to obtain for them. Professor Stanley.
Further guests for introduction? If not, we'll revert to the regular order of business. We're under unfinished business. Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Kelly be excused from the call of the House tomorrow.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The member will be excused on the date indicated.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Akers be excused from the call of the House on the 10th and 11th of this month.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The member will be excused on the dates indicated. Further unfinished business, received a message from the Senate that the Senate has failed to recede from its amendment to House Bill 780, Special Appropriation and National Council on Alcoholism, and has appointed a conference committee consisting of Senator Holman, Chairman Senator Hackney, and Senator Coletta. This time, appoint a like committee to meet with a conference committee from the Senate consisting of Representative Parr, Chairman, Representative Cotton, Representative Urien. Clerk, please notify the Senate. Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? If not, are there any special orders? Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to point out something. It was read across the clerk's desk yesterday. I suppose I'm accused of sometimes generating a lot of words, and I'm afraid I did it in the two letters of intent that were accompanying two bills that were read across yesterday, and I appreciate the patience of the clerks and the printers on that. But I think that I'd like to point that out to the members that on page 756 of the journal begins the letter of intent for the bill that would establish a pool of television users, and say page 762 is an extensive letter of intent to accompany the appropriations bill relating to television that will be up for Representative Bradley's committee tomorrow. I've had several members of this body and the other body asking me questions about this, and these rather exhaustive letters are very detailed and answer most of your questions, and I would like to point those out to the members.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor to speak on statistics?
Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, several weeks ago, when this body was acting on House Bill 108, I passed out to members some of what I consider rather unfortunate statistics regarding minority hire and the low place on the pecking order occupied by the distaff side of the species in the executive branch. Didn't get much of a splash. I noticed a couple weeks later that a committee in the other body did do a report which got a lot of attention. Unfortunately, Mr. Speaker, this being an election year, I guess somebody has to reply to that, which is fine, except that I happen to have here in my hand a news release issued by the Office of the Governor, and it says that, you know, it's a sort of a pot and kettle calling each other black type thing, and they give some figures as legislative branch stature on those subjects. And I couldn't quite believe, Mr. Speaker, that wasn't any minority hire at all in our permanent legislative employees. So I did check the figures with the person who's in charge of all this, and at least if the information that he has is accurate, the governor's press release is quite wrong. It says exactly 0.0, and according to the Mr. Charney, we do have 3.9, which I think is somewhat of a difference. Also, the other group that the governor listed for legislative branch, he said 7.1. According to Mr. Charney, we have 9.3. I don't think we should be especially proud to be the one of these two sets of figures, but I think it's worth bringing to the body's attention and anybody else who's listening that maybe the figures that came in the press release may not be accurate.
Representative Urien?
I'm not sure what all that means, Mr. Speaker, but I'll report now that the minority party in this body has 20% minority hire, and that's a good figure. We're proud of that statistic.
Representative Parr?
Mr. Speaker, I might tell him that the HES committee has 33%.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the privilege of the floor to talk about a proposed Anchorage small boat harbor?
Without objection, you have the floor.
Are you sure there's no objection, Mr. Speaker?
Please go ahead, Mr. Miles.
Last weekend I was in Anchorage and came across a proposal for a small boat harbor, which is kind of unusual for the Anchorage area, and I think it deserves mention on the floor of the House. As we all know, there is no facility in Anchorage at the present time where fishing boats or pleasure crafts can tie up on a permanent basis. But I ran across a small legal ad, and then subsequently followed it up and went out to the site and talked to the people and was very impressed. The background on the situation is this. In 1973, a couple of Anchorage businessmen began work on the idea of putting a small boat harbor down off Cook Inlet. Subsequent to that, they leased from the Alaska Railroad 60-plus acres down on the waterfront for the purpose of putting the small boat harbor in. They retained architects. The organization is up for permit application with the Corps of Engineers, and comments from the general public are supposed to be in by April 28th. I would certainly like to urge this body to send in a favorable comment or two for this. It's a really exciting concept for Anchorage. The details will be available in my office. Thank you.
Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we be at ease?
House, please stand. We're under special orders. Are there any more special orders? Announcements, committee meetings. Representative Cooper.
Speaker, the Finance Committee will meet at 1:15 on to continue deliberations on the University of Alaska budget.
Representative Bradley.
Ms. Speaker, the calendar shows for House State Affairs capital move legislation at 1:15, but we're not going to have that. But we are going to meet at 1:15. House State Affairs, we're going to be taking up HCR 119 relating to the use of herbicides on roadsides, HCR 107 requesting cost and feasibility study on construction of Kinnick Arm hydroelectric power and transportation facility connecting Anchorage and Willow, House Bill 546, an act relating to state regulation of fireworks, House Bill 754 regarding sessions of the legislature, and House Bill 653 making a special appropriation with respect to the utilities transmission line at mile 18.1 of the Seward Highway.
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, the Commerce Committee will meet tonight at 7 o'clock to take up House Bill 667, Insurance Premium Financing, House Bill 729, Small Business Assistance, House Bill 786, the Alaska Securities Act, House Bill 822, Geothermal Energy Study, House Bill 705, Electrical Administrators, House Bill 739, Mechanics Liens, HCR 117, the Alaska State Office in Tokyo. We'll also meet tomorrow morning at 8 to take up House Bill 739, Mechanics Liens, and HDR 65, the World Peace Tax Fund.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary will meet today at 3 o'clock on House Bill 803, Challenges to Regulations of State Agencies, House Bill 860, MOPEDs, and Senate Bill 166, Jurisdiction of the Alaska Transportation Commission.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, Hess will meet at 3 this afternoon. House Bill 734, REAA School Board Elections. House Bill 856, Election of Community Schools Committee Members. And House Bill 571, a Special Appropriation to the Department of Education to Construct Swimming Pools.
Representative Rudd.
Community and Regional Affairs will meet tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock on House Bill 843, the Revenue Sharing Proposal.
Representative Osterbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resource Committee will meet today at 1:30 p.m. Taking up House Bill 572, Travel and Per Diem for Board of Fish, House Bill 683, Special Appropriation to the Department of Fish and Game. And we will have a work session tonight at 7 o'clock on House Bill 854, State Leasing and Policy of Leasing of Lands.
Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, I've been asked to announce that there'll be a student rally in Anchorage on the University of Alaska Anchorage campus, 1:30 tomorrow. In case the notice was too short, you might want to send a representative to that rally.
Further announcements? Representative Urien.
Hip hip hooray. Mr. Speaker, there is a Republican luncheon today at noon at Sally's Kitchen, and the speaker is one of our candidates for Lieutenant Governor, Mr. Bob Ward.
Further announcements? Further business to come before the House? Representative Miller.
There is none, Mr. Speaker. I'll ask unanimous consent this body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, House is adjourned.